Hello, welcome to the Farcom Podcast, getting in the Christmas spirit here. My favorite Christmas movie, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Watch it every year religiously, not during Christmas time, just a movie I've always enjoyed. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Farcom Podcast. I'm going to talk about men's and women's basketball, going to touch on football staff changes, going to also talk about Southland Conference news, and just briefly talk about the FCS playoffs. As always, I want to thank you for listening to each and every episode, and as always, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It can automatically download it to wherever you do listen to this. It does help us with the costs, which are covered and provided by our sponsor, which is Anchor.fm. Speaking of which, here is the Anchor.fm commercial. Going to start off talking about the Lady Demons, and talking about Lady Demons, you have to start off with Candace Paramore, who's just been absolutely phenomenal. Candace Paramore, of course, senior out of Dallas, Texas, coming in right now averaging 12.5 points per game, which is amazing. 3 rebounds a game, just absolutely phenomenal from her. Thing I like about what she's doing as well, and it's not really shows up as much on a stat sheet, but she is a catalyst for a lot of our offense. She just has a way of getting their defense to rotate in one direction to kind of look at her and open up other lanes. She's very aggressive. Good job going to the rim. She has a good touch. Defensively, she's really after. So Candace Paramore, player of the week. What else can you say about her? But she's been absolutely phenomenal all the way around. And overall, I think we're doing pretty well shooting-wise. We're only shooting 36%, but we're holding our opponents to 36% shooting, which is really good. One thing I'd like to see a little bit of improvement on, we're only shooting 26% from three-point range. That I'd like to see pick up a little bit, getting more closer to that 30%. But, again, that's just a minor thing. And a big thing I like the most about us all the way around is rebounding. We're pretty much even with our opponents. And that, of course, averages out. You have some good opponents and some weaker ones. But last year I felt we were kind of dominated on boards at times. So really, really good effort there for the Lady Demons. I always felt rebound was one of those hustle stats. And if your rebounding is improving, that's normally a pretty good sign of it. Scoring rise, we're averaging about 70 points a game, which is really good compared to last year. Again, you just see improvements across the board. And the thing I like the most is just the rotation for the team, the way defensively we're just getting after it, really doing a great job, kind of keeping people, just not comfortable with everything. One person I'm going to give credit to, and I don't think she kind of gets the the accolades that maybe I think she deserves, and a person that I've been really impressed with is Giselle Woodson. Watching Giselle Woodson, man, she is just an absolute beast on defense. A lot of those you're not seeing in the stats, but whenever she's out on defense, she reminds me a lot of Muggsy Bogues, the way he used to play, for anybody who remembers him, where it's just a constant, almost like a bee around you, where no matter which dude she's sticking on you, if you have the ball, she's causing to disrupt the flow. And I think she's been, to me, aside from Candace Paramore, I think Giselle Woodson has been a big catalyst for the Lady Demons doing improvement. Another person I'm going to give credit to is Carmella Dean. I think she's given us, again, that aggressiveness with the ball. She has good touch for mid-range. And it, again, just opens up that offense when her and Monet Bolden, they can get going, and all of a sudden Candace Paramore comes in, and it just opens up that offense. And our guard play has been absolutely phenomenal this year. And if you look through, we have basically a roster, I think, that's really versatile. And I think that's what helps is that I find at any given time on the court, you have players that can go inside, driving, they can shoot from mid-range, they can hit a three. So you can't just take, let's say, Giselle Woodson, say, all right, well, we'll just isolate her on a perimeter and that'll do it, because, again, she does have range. Not saying, she's going to drop, 10 three-pointers on you, but she's going to have that range. Same with Candace Paramore, where, again, she can hit from anywhere around. And if you look at the stats with the Lady Demons, it's very, very kind of spread out with the stats. You look at the average per game, you have Candace Permore with 12, Monet Bolden with 12 per game, Giselle Woodson with 9.1, Jordan Todd with 9, Carmella Dean with 8. That's a really good way to just spread out that offense, and I like that a lot. You look at three-point shooting-wise, you've got, again, Candace Permore shooting 21%, Monet Bolden shooting 240, Giselle Woodson at 61%, she's 11 of 18, which is really good. Carmella Dean is 425, but Hadley Bad is shooting him. You got Fleischman at 13 to 24. Jemiah Braxton, 26%. So, again, you look at it, and then the field goal percent, same thing, 36%, 38%, all the way down the line. There's not a big drop-off either way. So, I like the versatility that Coach Nims has built with this team, and think that's going to help going forward. And looking ahead, Lady Demons, they came away, with Mississippi Valley over the weekend, 78-71 win over them. That was really good. That was on the heels of a really, really good win over Arkansas State. If you haven't seen it on Twitter, there was a clip uploaded of the last minute of that Mississippi Valley game. Also, I believe it may be on issuedemons.com. I'm not certain on that, but I know it's on Twitter. But if you watch that last minute of that game, it's one of the most impressive and more fun minutes of basketball you can watch. Lady Demons just absolutely shredded. The Mississippi Valley defense got some good stops and came over that 78-71 overtime win. Looking forward, we'll have a road trip at former Southland Conference rival UL Monroe. That game will be at 6:30 tomorrow night. Then we'll be returning home Saturday against Tarleton State. Tarleton State's not a bad team. Neither is UL Monroe. I think both we're going to have to come in and play, you know, our best to get after it. Going to be a lot of fun to watch that. And then, of course, on Tuesday, next Tuesday, we will be traveling to Kansas, which is going to be a big one. And then after that, the preseason tournament. And in that preseason tournament, we'll be taking on UNO in the first game. That should be a fun one out of the Merrill Center in Katy, Texas, as we finish up the Southland Conference playing basketball in that arena. In an overall, looking at the Lady Demons, the thing I like the most about this team is there's nothing I can look at and say, well, this is a huge problem we need to address. There's no real big problems. It's just fine tweaking different things. But I think overall, though, they're really headed for success in the Southland Conference. You know, all the pieces are there. They just have to keep believing, and I have no doubt they will. So definitely looking forward to seeing how they play, especially as we start getting into conference play pretty soon. Looking ahead to the men's side of things, Demons finally get a win over Dallas Christian College, 89-67 in Natchitoches. Really hard to get a read on that one. Dallas Christian, not a very strong team. Demons before then, though, came off of tough losses to UL Monroe, 84-71, and got blown out by Houston, 99-58. The one bright spot in our bad losing streak at the time was we did keep it close with Stephen F. Austin, who I still consider a very solid team. Looking ahead, though, it is not going to get easy, as tonight the Demon basketball team will travel to face a very tough, very talented LSU squad. And LSU is just they're really impressive to watch. They're coming off of a 69-53 slaughtering of Georgia Tech. As far as teams that we've played that they're even with, they did beat McNeese State 85-46. Scarily enough, we've lost twice to UL Monroe, and LSU absolutely bombed them 101-39 earlier in the year. So looking at that game, LSU, they're very aggressive. Will Wade over there, it's kind of their MO, is like to play very aggressive defense, get in your face, create turnovers, and hit you in transition. They can hit from outside. They do have some shooters that can definitely bury threes, but they're very aggressive. They're going to get in lane. They're going to draw fouls. They're going to frustrate you. So we've got to play exceptionally better than what we have been playing. And just looking kind of at the stat-wise, you know, one of the things that definitely hurts us is we're averaging almost 15 turnovers a game. And the bad thing about that is it kind of evens out when you play a team like a Dallas Christian. But when you look at us against a Houston and against some of the better teams we've played, the story hasn't always been pretty. We've had way too many turnovers, a lot of them unforced. We've definitely got to clean up on that. Shooting-wise, we're not bad. We're shooting 44% from the field. Unfortunately, our opponents are shooting right at 50%. You need to knock that down. And I really believe you can see how good a team's doing by the way their opponents are shooting. And when you're giving up easy transition baskets, we're giving up 81 points a game. That's not good. Three-point-wise, again, our opponents are almost shooting 40% from the field. Kind of the problems that plagued us last year, I think, are starting to come to fruition here, where we're not rotating on defense quick enough. It's getting them open shots. They're starting to penetrate the lane a little bit easier, kicking it out. Rotation's not there, and they're getting some easy threes on us. I do think the talent's there. We just have to play a lot better on offense. Playing simple on offense, we've got to move the ball better. There's times, especially in a Houston game, where they trap us and you just see four guys standing around while the one person's trapped. That can't happen. You got to have constant movement. And when you take a team like LSU, if you're not moving around the whole game, that's really going to, they'll hurt you, because they're going to take the ball from you and they're going to get some easy transition buckets. LSU, they're looking for seeding, so I expect them to, if they get a chance, they're going to score as many as they can on us because they're looking to make some waves. They want to get some respect. Just listening to Baton Rouge radio, I feel that they feel that LSU basketball is a little bit disrespected, that they're not getting the credit they deserve. So they're looking to make some statements. So we're going to have to come out with our head on a swivel. After the LSU game, though, we'll be returning Saturday at home against Southwestern Adventist, and then a really tough road trip. Next week, the 21st, we'll be playing off against Texas A&M. And then after Christmas, we will be traveling to Baylor, which is just a really good team. So a really tough stretch for the Demons. Have to play better. And one thing I will say is, where we want to be as a program, you have to be able to compete with the good teams. And I'm not saying you have to defeat them. We played Houston. That's a tough team. Louisiana Tech's a good team. LSU is going to be a good team. You have A&M, Baylor. Of course, we've played Tulsa and Oklahoma. Both are solid. But the problem is, you have got to be competitive. And when you look through the teams we've played, Oklahoma we played good against. Tulsa we played good against, though we've lost to both. And we were blown out by SMU, blown out by Tech, blown out by a Baton Rouge Monroe team. Competed well against SFA, then blown out against Houston. Did better against Yale Monroe, but the problem is all the good teams we really have been competitive against. If you look at the Stephen F. Austins, they don't necessarily win every game, but when they play a tough team, they're normally competitive in it. And you can take one game out of that and say, all right, we had a bad game, there's your blowout loss. But you have to be able to be competitive more times than not, no matter who you're playing. And when you look at where we want to be as a program, it's not just to be a good Southland Conference team. We want to be a good mid-major. And the good mid-major teams like your Wichita States, your Creightons, they can compete with the big dogs. They don't always beat them, but they can compete with them. And until we can get that consistency, it's going to be really tough. But for the Demons, though, I think the talent is there. One guy, just to give credit to, Kendall Coleman, he has been absolutely phenomenal all year. Expect more good things from him. Right now, averaging 15 points a game, but we need to get a little more help. Crevel Tessit looking really good. Larry Owens good. LaTerrence Reed, all doing well, good things. Person I'd like to see more from is Jovan Zelenbaba. Really hadn't seemed to get into a rhythm this year. Expect a little more out of him. Same thing with Robert Shugas, I think. I was hoping to get a little more production out of them. So hopefully they can step up and play a little better. I think they'll both do much better going forward, especially Jovan Zelenbaba. I think he's a tremendous player, but right now only shooting about 25%. I think that's going to improve, and as he starts to get better, I think we're going to see some good things. Another guy I'm looking at that I think is going to come into his own is Jalen King. He's shown some good things early on. Really looking forward to seeing how he plays, but we need to get some help with Kendall Coleman. He's been, I think, our leader both offensively and defensively. And we need to get someone else to step up consistently. We've had other guys step up, but not on a consistent level. And you could just watch it where there's games where it seems like at times he's the only person making plays happen. That has to change. So going forward, like to see us just get a little bit better ball movement, a little bit better movement off the ball, get off of screens better. Set picks better, help whenever we get traps. You got to go help them. defensively, just get those rotations over. Don't give them those easy shots and, you know, in the corner for three. Don't give them those easy layups and drives to the baskets. Rebounding wise, I think we're doing okay on that. So again, just got to make sure, you know, that ball movement is there. Can't be stagnant on offense. And until we get rid of that stagnation of offense, we're going to keep getting blown out. Because whenever you're down, you know, 30-something points to 10, you know, you're down 20 points early, your success is not going to be there. You can't play from behind all the time. We've got to jump up, get early scoring, get quick starts. We have to stop that trend of getting behind early and then playing catch-up. And at Southland play and otherwise, looking at the Southland, Nichols looks really, really good. I'm impressed with them. Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they are actually looking really good as well. They will have a big, big week coming up. I'll bring it up real quick for their basketball team. Other team I like is UNO. I think at times they've shown flashes of being really, really good. Other times they kind of look average, but it'll be interesting what happens. Back to A&M Corpus Christi, they're 9-1. Their one loss was to Texas A&M, which is a good team. That was an 85-65 loss. They had a big one over UTSA, 77-58. Overall, though, they haven't played a very difficult schedule. That's about to pick up, and it's going to be interesting what happens with them as they come in on Tuesday, or tonight, I should say, against Minnesota on the road. That's going to be a tough one. Then they'll host Lamar at home before traveling to Notre Dame and then finishing off Silver State before Southland Conference play. They will actually be playing us in that preseason tournament game in Katy. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. I haven't mentioned them as much because I'm still not totally sold on them. Overall, their schedule hasn't been that difficult. So I'd like to see how they play once they hit that Minnesota and once they hit Notre Dame, see how they compete in that. But so far, they've been impressive at 9-1, and 9-1, no matter who you play, is still a good thing. So going forward, though, for the Demons, you know, hope to get some improvements. We've got to get better. The talent's there, just got to put the pieces together, and I still think we can be competitive in Southland Conference play. Results haven't been there, but again, Coach McConathy, he knows what he's doing. We've got a great staff. Just got to get, you know, got to get those pieces firing on all cylinders. Looking at the Southland Conference, of course, with Chris Grant being brought in as the new commissioner of the Southland, you know, I think that's something everyone kind of sees as a breath of fresh air. Tom Burnett did, I think, a okay job, but the conference did fall apart under his watch. Unfortunately, it's a hard thing to come from, and whether his fault or not, it does lay, I think a lot of blame does eventually get shifted onto the leader of the conference. So hopefully with the fresh blood, we'll have new pieces coming in. Of course, McNeese, they decide not to jump to the WAC. It appears as of now the UIW still will go ahead with those plans. The biggest news coming recently out of Southland Conference is they did announce the Southland Conference Ohio Valley Partnership, and I like the games on it. It'll start September 10th, A&M Commerce at Tennessee Tech. September 17th, we'll have Nichols at Southeast Missouri. October 1st, which I think is going to be a fun game, Murray State at Southeastern Louisiana. Then Northwestern State, who we actually have two games, on October 8th, we'll travel to Eastern Illinois. That's been a solid club. Going to be a tough challenge for Demons, but I like the schedule on that one. Then we will return home on October 22nd to take on Southeast Missouri, another team I'm looking forward to playing. At home should be a fun matchup. On the 29th would be UT Martin at Houston Baptist. Of course, UT Martin just went to the playoffs. Going to be a tough challenge for Houston Baptist. They're going to need to improve tremendously as due to Demons. November 5th, Eastern Illinois will be at McNeese State. That's going to be another fun one. Eastern Illinois is normally a solid program. McNeese, of course, they have their head coach has left to go to LSU to join Brian Kelly's staff. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with McNeese State. And then Tennessee State will be traveling to Texas A&M Commerce on November 19th to finish that. They will be doing some cross-promotion things during the year as well, aside from those games. So it'll be fun to see what comes out of that. And then, of course, in 2023 as well, they'll have further games. So I like the alliance. I think it does help. I wouldn't mind, honestly. It's a thing I heard not on here. On Twitter or anyone called in, but it's just something I'd heard from a former coach that I talked to. And his idea, which could work at the FCS level, is to do what the Big Ten did last year, where if you have the Ohio Valley and the South and you kind of have a conference title, make it like one conference, but you keep that last weekend of the season open, and then number one plays number one, two plays two, three plays three, and so on, so that at the end of the season you have that last matchups, but you do have, you know, a quote-unquote conference title game, which is basically your two number ones playing against each other. Of course, the downside of that is you got to look at the auto bid. You obviously don't want to do something if it would take away an auto bid with Ohio Valley or the Southland. It's just a thought. I thought it was an interesting idea. I'm not sure the feasibility of it, because I know it'd be tough to schedule a game with a week's notice. But it's something I think that was, I thought, was an interesting idea I would pass along. Other Southland Conference rumors is that supposedly Stephen F. Austin, Lamar are rumored to be talking about a possible return to the Southland. As with all rumors, until I see something official, I'm not going to believe it. With Stephen F., I do still think basketball-wise, it does help him being in the WAC. I do know their plans, I think, are bigger than just being in the WAC. I'm not sure about Lamar. Of course, UIW going over is interesting. But right now, the WAC is definitely hurting with the defections of Sam Houston and New Mexico being big blows to the conference. Being a Grand Canyon alumnus, I can tell you that Grand Canyon is definitely looking to move elsewhere. Whether that comes to fruition or not, I'm not sure. But I know they like to be in a more Western-oriented conference. So it depends. Be interesting to see what happens. Of course, if they leave, that definitely hurts basketball in a conference. And right now, football is kind of a patchwork thing with them in the A7 conference. But anyway, a lot of interesting things in the conference, realignments. I'm sure there'll be a lot more pieces to fall. I am interested in seeing the other teams that possibly will come into the Southland. Again, there's a lot of rumors. I've heard nothing concrete. So until there's some concrete, I won't mention them on here. But definitely going to be interesting to continue to watch and see things as they unfold. On Northwestern News, search for athletic directors underway. Always find it fascinating to look behind the scenes. And I think if you look at the backgrounds of who ends up getting hired, you could kind of sometimes see the focus of it, of the athletic program. For instance, if you have a athletic director coming in with more of a business background, you can kind of tell that, yes, they want to get finances in order. They want to help build finances, become more equitable. You look at someone that's done a lot of expansion, built new arenas and so forth, or helped, increase the athletic complex in their previous job, then you can maybe say, okay, your department's looking to that aspect. We want to expand certain things and grow as a university. And again, there's a litany of other things you can go with, but I always find it really fascinating to see that aspect of, athletics behind the scene. And, moving on from Greg Burke will definitely be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see who they tag as the new athletic director. Of course, the other news coming out, only official news, is Brad Smiley leaving to be the coach of Southern Arkansas. Wish him the best of luck. Will be interesting to see offensively what changes. Of course, obviously the struggles with Northwestern's offense was well documented this year. Last game of the season, really seemed to be kind of a good step forward for the program offensively. And it'll be interesting to see what Brad Laird does to go forth from here. And, Brad Laird, it's a do or die season. So as the new staff takes shape, it'll be really interesting. Haven't had really an official reports coming out. I've heard names, but until some official comes out, I don't want to really mention that on here. But it will be interesting to see what it goes forward from that one. One name that I haven't heard as much, but I'm really interested to see where he ends up, is, of course, Broderick Fobb. He used to be at Northwestern State, moved around, eventually was the head coach at Grambling, was recently fired from that job. Really interested to see where he ends up at. If there's a way to get him back on staff at Northwestern, I think that'd be great, but I'm not sure if that's a step he'd be willing to take, obviously being the head coach at Grambling, and I know that was a pretty good salary over there. But Coach Fobbs, wherever he ends up, he is a tremendous coach, something I still hold that opinion of, and I think a lot of people around the coaching community finds him a very respected coach. So really interested to see where Coach Fobb ends up at. Always thought he was one of the more talented coaches to come through Northwestern. And last but not least, FCS playoffs. Defending champion Sam Houston, they were bombed by Montana State in the quarterfinals 42-19. That ended any team in the immediate area being in the playoffs as they were eliminated. Really tough one for the defending champions. Looking at the Final Four, it's about what you would expect, I think. Montana State, South Dakota State, and the other side, North Dakota State and James Madison, which is kind of the marquee matchup for that one. I think both games will be fun to watch. Not really, you know, be honest, I don't want to pick either side. That's just four great teams. It should be some fun football being played at the FCS level. I do wish we get more marketing for it, I find, on the FCS level. We're almost looked at as being Division II, and we're not. We're all Division I teams, all Division I athletes. So hopefully, you know, marketing can improve as the changes happen on the college landscape. But really good playoff bracket. Going to be fun to watch those. Do thank you for listening to this episode of the Farcom Podcast. Had fun bringing it to you. Hope you have a great Christmas. I will be back next week to cover the both men's and women's basketball teams. I apologize for the week delay from the last episode. Unfortunately, said I do work in agriculture, and as such, this is the quote-unquote grinding season with sugarcane. Had some things I had to deal with work, work-related, so I wasn't able to have the usual time off to do this, and I do apologize on that. But unfortunately, you know, real life comes first. If anybody wants to pay me a full salary to do this podcast, I'm definitely not opposed to that. I don't think that's in the cards right now. Do want to thank you, though, for listening. It's been a great one. I do recommend listening to Patrick Netherton, to his show, and anything he puts out. It's always really fun to listen to him. Walk On Radio, cover Sam Houston. They do a great job as well. Lots of really great content out there for consumption, and lots of good places to get news and opinion from. Once again, I do want to thank you. Hope you have a great holiday season. Going to look forward to talk to you next week. Hopefully some good results from both basketball teams. You know, baseball and softball will be, and indoor track will be starting up pretty soon as well. Going to be fun. Until next time, have a great one. Stay safe, and Farcom Demons.